out quickly. So what I will do is let you guys know that 10 minutes apiece, because we have this many bills, and everyone was sent an email or otherwise notified that we have 5 questions about each trail. So if they could be answered extremely quickly, just to put everybody on the same footing. We want to be as fair as possible so everybody is on the same footing. So with that, the first, and each one of these will be laid on the table for consideration in our bonding recommendation to the bonding committee. So we will not be acting formally on anything tonight, but we do want to hear from you all. And we're going to proceed rapidly, I hope, and hopefully the rest of the members get here so they can weigh in. Representative Moe, you have House File 3002.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I will try to be brief so we can get on to the individual projects. I'd like to move House File 3002 to be passed, and we're moving on to the Capital Investment Committee, correct? Members, it's no surprise to all of you that I'm a strong advocate for our state trail system, state and regional trails. As we all know in this committee, Minnesotans value their parks and trails. They're essential to our quality of life. And one of the primary reasons that Minnesota is such a wonderful place to live. We know that the trails have given the state of Minnesota a proven framework for tourism, for economic development, and revitalization for areas of our state. In fact, Explore Minnesota Tourism has identified developing and maintaining recreational trails as a big priority for the tourism industry. Biking is the third most popular vacation activity in the United States, and in Minnesota, 29% of our residents bike or exercise for pleasure, including many members of the legislature. Trails enhance our property values, provide business opportunities, and contribute to community and regional pride. Trails continue to be the local contribute to the local economy by creating jobs for local contractors, business opportunities, and enhance our strong local tourism. Trails provided needed infrastructure. They maximize federal, state, and other funding resources and add capacity to increase tourism. The state trail system is also about connections, connecting communities together with state and regional parks, connecting regions of the state together, connecting people to the outdoors, and connecting and creating community pride. Nearly every corner of the state benefits from our trail proposal here. It reflects the regional demands and communities have for trails for economic development, recreation, and opportunities for Minnesotans and people who visit Minnesota to be physically fit. The demand for trails will continue. We need to accelerate and move forward with developing the state trails that have already been authorized by the legislature but are yet who are yet uncompleted, and we will be prioritizing those trails. As we go forward with the bills that individual trail projects that you're going to hear, we're going to ask some specific questions, and I encourage you as committee members to also ask and reflect upon those questions. Number one is this trail for land acquisition, construction, or both? Many of the trails that are highlighted by the Parks and Trails Council that Judy will talk about are for all of these, but we are going to be highlighting trails that were acquiring land to complete existing trail systems as opposed to starting new trail systems. Is this a new trail segment or connection? Again, we will be concerned with trail systems that are already in place, trying to extend them and complete them so we can complete our work. Is there a local contribution? As you'll go through these trail systems, you'll see that there are local matches for virtually all the projects, but we should be asking that question so we can extend our state limited state capital investment dollars, which we will be doing by this bill. Will construction begin this summer or next? Again, it's no surprise to everybody here in this committee. The economy is on troubled times. We want to emphasize jobs and jobs growth with our bill. The projects that we have highlighted will be that. They will be emphasizing job growth. They will be that construction will start this year. But specifically, when people come forward with their bills, we should be asking that question to make sure that construction will start soon so we can get people to work immediately. And again, are these projects part of the state's trail system? And I would like to add a regional trail system for the metro area. Are we connecting other trails? Again, you'll see that trails that we are highlighting will in fact do that. We will be connecting existing trails, capitalizing on the investments that we've already made. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Judy Erickson, who you all know, who's going to give more specific details to the Parks and Trails proposal.
Okay. Before you begin, one of the things that I think we want to add is the number six for all of these. $29 million is a large ask, a very large ask, and I don't think anyone expects that that's what the final number will be for trails. So I think it's important also to say what you need for the first phase, if it's the first piece, or for the next phase, if it's an additional piece. And I think that's something that each person testifying should answer to. Representative Moll.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for that point, and I agree completely. I also would like to add, however, that we are our bill does have $4 million in it for repair and maintenance of existing trails. And as I said before, and I know many of us believe this, we need to maintain the investment in our existing infrastructure. And regardless of where our number comes out, ultimately from this committee, I would argue that $4 million remain in place so we can, again, maintain the investment that we've already made in existing trails. We know that there are serious maintenance problems statewide.
Thank you. I think that's a good admonition to all of us. Ms. Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Judy Erickson. I'm the Government Relations Director for the Parks and Trails Council of Minnesota. And the bill before you today, the 2008 Trails Initiative, builds on the work that we have done in 2004, 2005, and 2006 on trails. And the package that we bring to you is in the $29 to $30 million range on each of those years. But in working with the communities and the trail groups across the state, the demand is probably closer to $60 million. So already as an organization, we have gone through and worked with these communities to bring the package down to $29 million, which I know is a big number, and you can see why we want to keep it at that number as a starting point. The 2008 initiative does place a priority on state trail rehabilitation, and the agency requested $4 million in that area, and the governor only provided $3 million. We would continue to recommend at least $4 million for state trail rehab. And I believe you had testimony from the DNR on the needs there. The rest of the package reflects projects that we have worked with citizens throughout the state, and it will include 140 miles of trails, either acquisition or development. And we do have a number of the trail groups represented here today, and as you know, there have been a lot of legislators that have been engaged individually as well on these trails. I'd just like to introduce the folks that are here who aren't necessarily going to be speaking tonight, but SMART is the Southern Minnesota Area Regional Trails Group. Will SMART people stand up?
It looks great.
It's a great acronym, isn't it?
There's no other smart people in the room.
There you go. It includes, and then the Minnesota Valley Trail. There's some folks here. All right. the Stagecoach Trail, the Milltowns Trail, the Bluff End Chester Woods, and Great River Ridge Trail here. And they've all traveled in tonight to be with us, so thank you to them. All right, then I will go through the, in your green packets, there are green packets in your folders that has quite a bit of information about each trail project, but there's also on the right-hand side, this fact sheet, and on page 2 is the listing of all the trails that I will be going through this list. And then in the left-hand side of the packet is extra detail on most of the trails in this proposal. So starting out with the Gitche-Gami Trail, this is a $1.6 million request. It is,
let me just clarify something here for members. Can I assume that if you're going through this, then folks from the audience will not be testifying on these trails? Okay. All right. So members are know what's coming. Okay. So even though I see some of these on this list, they will not be testifying.
On the Great River Ridge or?
Yes. Well, it's, as I see this list on the agenda, have you not seen the agenda?
Yes, Madam Chair. I understand that there are a couple of projects that will be presented separately, and so I will only won't mention them in great detail.
Okay.
So the majority of these are not.
Okay. But let's be real clear so we know we don't double. Somebody doesn't get a double advantage.
Right.
Fairness again.
Okay. All right, then. The Gitche-Gami Trail is for construction. It's $1.6 million. It matches $1.5 in federal funding, and there's $755,000 in MnDOT funding. And it's for a continuation of the development from Silver Bay to Tattegooch, so it's a continuation of an existing 86-mile state trail on the North Shore. The Great River Ridge Trail, you will hear separately from this. It's construction. The Root River Forestville Trail is for construction. It's for development, including 4 bridges, and it is a part of the Root River Trail system. Eventually, will connect the city of Preston to Forestville State Park. The Browns Creek Trail is acquisition, and on that trail project, we, as an organization at Parks and Trails, have been actively engaged on that issue. This is the Zephyr Dinner Train, and our recommendation is to go to $1 million there. And the Washington County has an additional $1 million, and that's for acquisition. The Root River Eastern Extension, this is for acquisition. It's from Houston east to Mounds Prairie. Again, it's a part of an existing trail system. It's a new segment. The Blufflands Chester Woods Trail, that's construction, and Representative Welty will be presenting that separately. The Paul Bunyan Trail is for construction. It's $2 million from Walker to Guthrie. And in addition to these 16 miles that the state will pay for, the federal government has put up funding for the next 16 miles to bring the trail into the city of Bemidji. And the city of Bemidji has bonded separately for land acquisition as the trail comes into the city. So there is quite a bit of, I think it's $14 million in local funding that they are spending to bring the trail into the city. The Casey Jones Trail, it's for both acquisition and development. That's in southwestern Minnesota, $1.5 million. It's a continuation of a very popular trail. There's a lot of local momentum there, and so we'd like to see that project continue. The Milltowns Trail, which is on the eastern end, it connects Lake Billsby Park to Cannon Falls. It is both construction and acquisition. The majority of it is $1.5 million for a bridge. And Dakota County is participating, and they will be, as I understand it, providing the land on the Dakota County side for the bridge. Minnesota Valley Trail, this is an interesting project. It is a $1 million acquisition. It is a single landowner in the original rail bed. When the railroad went out of business and the land was sold, it was sold to one single landowner, so you buy the one 26-mile piece and you have your trail. Matt is ready to go. Minnesota Valley Trail, this is, I believe, it's one, for $1.6 million. It's for both acquisition and development, and I believe Representative Peterson intends to talk about this separately. The Root River Trail, again, it's on the eastern side. It matches federal funding of $481,000. It's for construction. It would connect the Root River Trail in Minnesota to the Wisconsin Trail system, so it's a great little project that would connect some wonderful trails together. The Goodhue Pioneer Trail is for construction. It's for the next phase of development between Goodhue and Zimbrota. Milltown's Trail is for both acquisition and development on the western end in the city of Faribault, and the city will be doing some of the preliminary design work. That will be their contribution. And the Milltown's Trail in Faribault connects to the Cicada Trail. All of these trails at some point will connect to each other. The Stagecoach Trail is a new trail project. The authorization for it went through several years ago, went through the legislature. This is the first time they have been to the legislature asking for funding. This money would be for acquisition, for initial acquisition of the trail, which eventually would go into Rochester, Olmsted County, and connect to all the other Buffalo trails in that area. Then the last one on the list is the Heartland Trail. This is also is a new trail. It was an extension authorized in statute 2 years ago. And this would be for preliminary acquisition between Park Rapids and Detroit Lakes. And there is a map in your packet, so you can see where all these trails are around the state. Those are the trails in the packet, Madam Chair. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
The question that wasn't answered, except for the city of Stillwater and the Browns Creek Trail, I believe you said instead of $5 million, $1 million would be the way we could get started on that. But the rest of them, you didn't answer the question, if we were phased in, what would you need for the next phase? So if you would submit that in writing by tomorrow morning, that would be helpful, but we need to know more than this. Representative Moe.
Madam Chair, obviously we're going to need to whittle down our list a bit. As you know, we have met with many members and their community members already to find out what numbers can they live with to still keep these projects going forward. Members of the House or their representatives here who have yet to meet with us, who have information about their projects, I'll be here as late as it takes tonight to get that information to the committee.
That would be helpful if members would speak to Representative Moe. We all know that the requests for bonding this year far surpass anything that will be bonded. We're talking about billions more. So we cannot have the high expectation that trails get special treatment.
Madam Chair, one last point about the Parks and Trail Council list of recommendations. And you know this as the chair of this committee, we do have the good fortune of all of the legwork they have done to this point. Much of the legwork they have done for the trails up until now is why we are at the place we are. And in the list that they've given us and the groundwork that they've done, they have really helped us to provide a decent guide to work with. So a lot of that has been done to this point, but in the next 24 hours we'll need to finish the job.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. We vote Representative Welke's next on the list with two bills, House File 23. That Representative Moe's bill is laid on the table for possible inclusion. Representative Welke with House File 2302 and House File 697.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I want to thank you for taking the time to hear the trails bill. I want to thank Representative Moe for authoring the comprehensive trail bill, and I want to thank Judy Erickson from the Parks and Trails Council and the Parks and Trails Council for all of the work that they've done to compile the list. Members, I am here for the constituents that live in the district I represent who have two wonderful trail projects that I've been working on for a number of years with them, and that's House File 2302 and House File 697. Here on behalf of the Great River Ridge Trail is Dean Harrington. He's the spokesperson on behalf of that trail. And on behalf of the Chester Woods Trail, we will have Jeff St. Name speak, and actually Dean Harrington's wife is holding the map along with Roberta Kurth, who works on the Great River Ridge Trail. So you're hearing about two separate bills, but the two separate bills, the two projects, actually fit together nicely to complete a loop.
Madam Chairman, committee members, my name is Jeff St. Main. I'm the chair of the Chester Woods Trail. Chester Woods Trail is a designated state trail. It runs from the eastern edge of Rochester, 5 miles to the 1,300-acre Chester Woods County Park. We have a map here that kind of explains a little about the whole project. 3 years ago, three trail committees began working together. The Chester Woods Trail in red, the Great River Ridge Trail in green, and the Whitewater State Charles in purple. I should mention that the trail goes through 8 cities and 2 state parks, Whitewater State Park, Carley State Park, and the Chester Woods Regional Trail. The economic impact for these cities will be huge. In a 2002 DNR study, it was stated that communities with trails can expect to generate between $300,000 to $1.5 million annually of economic activity between Memorial Day and Labor Day. These are old numbers. We hope now that they could be even higher and help some of our smaller communities in this area. Chester Woods Trail is ready to get started. We purchased all the land needed for the first 5 acres, which is phase one of our project. The DNR has recently finalized the master plan, which needed to be done before we could start construction, and is working on the engineering plans right now. We will be ready to start work later this year. We have been fortunate in previous bonding years and have funding left to do some of the initial trails work, but we are asking for $970,000 to finish the construction. Olmsted County has been generous to us in donating over $145,000 in land and to be used for the trail, and the city of Eota spent $30,000 and has pledged another $50,000 in trail development. Thank you for letting me talk and let Dean speak next.
Well, I'm here to talk about the Great River Trail, and in answering the 5 questions, our request is for 1.2.
Would you state your name for the record, please?
Dean Harrington.
Thank you.
And we're requesting $1.2 million. The request is to complete the remaining segment of the Great River Ridge Trail, and also to connect to the Chester Woods Trail, that Jeff just talked about. We have 5 miles of paved trail that's been completed and has been in use for the last few years. We would like to complete the final 10 miles south to Highway 14 by Eota and eventually to join with the Chester Woods Trail. We've retrofitted 30 bridges and as I mentioned, we have 5 miles of paved trail. Our local contribution came early. We had the two communities of Elgin, their cities, EDAs, and business communities raised $465,000, which is about 27% of the work that's been done to date. We received 2 federal grants totaling $765,000. As far as construction and timing, we would our goal would be to let bids for summer or fall construction to get that paving done. And we are part of the state trail system at this point, and as was mentioned earlier, there's a DNR master plan for the entire Whitewater loop, and we're a part of that. And I think Representative Welty has some comments on phasing our project as well.
Just some closing comments on these 2 trails. I've been working on them for 3 years. The Chester Woods Trail, we've actually gone through 2 bonding cycles. In the first bonding cycle, the dollars were used for acquisition of land. The second bonding cycle, the dollars are to be used for the initial construction, grubbing out of that area. If we don't fund it to finish it, we're essentially going to have a dirt path. So it'd be nice to have the third and final increment so we can actually pave the trail and have it done, that 5 mile segment. The other trail, and the Chair Wagenius and some of the other members were on the tour and they got to see this site. It's on an existing railroad bed. There's rock already there. All of the bridges were retrofitted with federal funding and some private and local funding. So all we need the money for now, the $1.2 million, we'll complete that segment by paving it. So we're at the stage in both of these trails where we need the full amount to complete these segments. We really can't break it down any more than that because in the past bonding cycles, we've broken it down. The last couple comments I want to make, Great River Ridge Trail, just remember, it's ranked number 2 on the Parks and Trails Council list and number 4 on the DNR list. The Chester Woods Trail is ranked number 6 on the Parks and Trails Council list, so they're ranked very high. In my closing comments, I know how important this bonding bill will be in stressing jobs. First of all, we can get construction jobs out there this season. And second of all, these two trails, I'm real confident because of their location to natural resource areas in our region, I really believe are going to end up drawing a lot of tourists. And we know how important it is not only to have the trails, but to have the infrastructure around these trails. We have theaters and we now have bed and breakfast and other small businesses that are developing, and we hope that these will continue to develop small businesses in our region.
Any questions from members? Thank you all for coming. You should know that this committee adores trails. That is not that is not an issue. The issue out here is we will not have we don't have an unlimited pocketbook, and it's very difficult to do, we can't possibly do everything that is going to be requested tonight. So, just understand that we wish we could, but we can't. So, thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Next on our agenda is Representative Peterson. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Genius and members of the committee. With me tonight is Jim Matthew from Appleton, and he's a former Parks and Trails Council board member from 2001 to 2007. And you're going to hear a lot about trails, obviously, tonight, but I'll say I see Mr. Matthew riding his bicycle on the roads in our area, and sometimes he sees me riding my bicycle on these roads in this area, and we go down a section of highway that is very busy relative to rural Minnesota. The shoulder is very, very bad, and if this trail was to be constructed, we would actually connect two towns in the upper Minnesota River Valley and have the opportunity to go past the Native Prairie that is acres and acres and acres and acres and miles in size. And I guess connect, if you will, a lot of folks who would ride it that are local and are coming into the area with some sort of connection to a prairie landscape. Tall grass prairie in the fall, as you're aware, Chair Wagenius, is quite striking, and I believe this would be one of Minnesota's feature state trails in terms of going through and being connected to the prairie ecosystem. We do have answers to your questions, and since I'll be around tomorrow and the next day, I'll let Mr. Massey answer the questions, and we'll go from there.
Good.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, committee members. My name is Jim Massey. I'm from Appleton. As Representative Peterson stated, our trail is actually phase two of a project that we started about 7 years ago. We did a two-mile in-town loop in the city of Appleton and leveraged state and federal, mostly federal money with local funds to get that done, a little over $800,000. So this is phase two, to connect our town with a trail that runs from Milan, Minnesota, down to Milan Beach, which is on Lacaparra Lake. That's about a 3.5-mile stretch. Ours is 8 to 8.5 miles. So that's the project. I know some of you were on the tour this fall. I came out to and saw the trail, and so you know the beauty of it. The looks over the Minnesota River Valley, and we're encouraged by the excitement that we've had in our community and in our area. As far as land acquisition and construction, it's mostly for construction. The land acquisition would, at this point, only be for easements along some of the land. It might be some minor amount for actual purchase of land by some of the farm owners that have offered us to go through their land instead of in the right-of-way of the ditch. It is a new trail to the extent from Appleton to Milan Beach, but it will connect with that trail. Our local contribution, to be honest, was tapped out when we did phase one, so that's why we're in need of the $1.6 million from this committee to finish the project. We do have a commitment of $300,000 from ATP4. That money is allotted to us, and there is a caveat that we get funding in 08 from the bonding bill to get that money. I'm going to jump to number six since we're talking money. There is a possibility that we can also get money from ATP8. The trail happens to be in two different ATP districts, so we have gone to that committee. And I think if we went to them with the money from here, that we could possibly get $200,000 to $300,000 from them. So, as far as number six, that's a possibility. This summer, we probably won't be constructing this summer, but we would be doing the design. We would want to get started on the design work and the engineering. But I would doubt that we would actually construct this summer. Hopefully, we could, but. Knowing how those things work, it would be difficult. But that's kind of our plan. It is part of the state trail, the new Minnesota Valley trail that was designated. We are in the corridor for that trail, and our section would fit into that. Our hope is if we can get this done, that we could either then keep going down the river towards Montevideo, or back up the river to Ortonville, because they're constructing a short trail out to the Big Stone National Wildlife Refuge. So we would hope to connect with them. Thank you for your time.
Super. I did have an opportunity to visit this summer, and it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I will attest to that. Are there questions for members?
Thank you. I guess the timeline is, I guess it depends on the Department of Natural Resources to how fast we can get moving on this for construction. But ATP stands for Area Transportation Partnership, and there could be $600,000 there. And if the priority for the DNR, and Mr. Massey describes such that we can move as fast as it actually gets there.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Yes.
All right, next on the list is Representative Johnson, 2819. Representative Peterson, we didn't move your bill for possible consideration, but I will do that. House File 143 is moved for possible consideration and laid over for the bonding bill. Representative Johnson, House File 2819, and I'll move that for consideration.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The trail project you have before you is called the Laura Afton Trail Extension, and what it does is provide a mile of paved missing link to multiple state and regional and municipal trails, including access to National Great River Park along the Mississippi River. With me to say a few words is Greg Mack from Ramsey County Parks and Rec. And Madam Chair, I did answer the five questions you requested. I have that with me. I could leave with the CA if you wish.
That's super. Thank you.
Madam Chair, my name is Greg Mack. I'm Director of Parks and Recreation for Ramsey County. I'm thankful for Representative Johnson supporting this bill. We did receive funding in 2006 to construct a section of the trail immediately east of this. There's a $321,000 state appropriation. We moved quickly, constructed that trail, and It was opened in the fall of 2007. This final link, the missing link that brings us down to the Mississippi River and the Great River Park, makes that final connection, which connects not only Ramsey County trails, but a whole system of regional trails in the area, including those that are located in Washington County, both to the east and to the south. In addition, it does provide a great opportunity for park and ride right at the intersection where this trail would tie into the Highway 61 is a major park and ride location and provides great access for that. In all these trails, we're looking to promote the healthy, active living within the region. Ramsey County has an active living Ramsey County initiative, and this trail has been part of their review, and they do support it, along with the district council and obviously the Ramsey County Board of Commissioners. There is included in your packet a more detailed illustration of this. There's an area in the front that illustrates the regional trail connections. I apologize, it's a little small to read, but overall we're looking at 100 miles of trail within Ramsey County as regional trails tie together with state trails as well. I also point out that this project has received $720,000 in federal funding. So the $450,000 that's being requested at this point completes that, and Ramsey County is prepared to move forward with that project.
Members? Questions? I don't see any. Thank you for coming.
Thank
we
you.
Will lay this over for consideration.
Thank you.
Next on the list is Representative Bill.
Thank you.
House File 2594. Would you like to move your own bill?
Sure.
Representative Bill moves House File 2594 for consideration.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With me, I have the very famous Ms. Erickson, the person that knows all about parks and trails. And the bill is about some of the most well-used and most famous parks. When I think of Split Rock Lighthouse Park, I was recently down at the governor's office, and when you walk into the governor's mansion, and when you walk in on the right-hand side as you enter the front door is a picture of the lighthouse. And I see it on many, many pieces of literature that represent this state, and it is one of the most sought-after attractions in the entire state. It also, and so are the other parks that are scattered along the shoreline of the North Shore. You know, each one of these parks has a phenomenal view of Lake Superior. In some places, at Split Rock Lighthouse, you can literally fall into the lake from hundreds of feet above the water if you were not careful. It's that close to the lake. And integrated in
Joe, are you talking about state liability here?
Yes. I knew you would pick up on that.
I just wanted to know. I was paying attention.
And incorporated in this is also the Gitche-Gamie Trail, which the state has been very committed to over the years to complete, which also runs right along the shoreline and connects a number of the parks. Is about, I believe it's about 85, 87 miles long. This proposal proposes to put together about 7 more miles, of which there are federal funds and state funds involved. The leverage of federal funds, I think it is about $1.275 million. Is that correct?
That's actually more.
It's more than that.
1.5.
So one of the proposals is to a new campground at Split Rock Lighthouse. If you haven't been there during the summertime, it's very crowded, much in need of these new facilities. And then an enhanced visitor center at Chattahoochee Park. And then the Gitche-Gamie that connects several features. The Gitche-Gamie connects a couple of parks and also the Superior Hiking Trail to those. And these are all leveraged against federal or other state dollars, such as MnDOT, and are incorporated in other projects. For example, when MnDOT rebuilds the section of Highway 61, which is the highway that runs along the shore, they redo the entrances and to those parks, and we then we do in cooperation with that, we are proposing to continue to improve the facilities there in cooperation with MnDOT, save us the money and make it work better in the long term. In answer to the chair's question, question one is, if this is construction. Number two is, these are segments of an existing trail and work towards improving our existing parks. And question number three is, I described some of the leverage earlier. There's quite a significant amount of federal and other state trust fund money that levers against the state dollars. And number four, will you be constructing this summer or next? The answer is yes. Some of it must be done through MnDOT, in cooperation with MnDOT when they bid out a highway project. And the trail system is a part of the is already a part of the state trail system. Question number five, as is, state parks already exist and are very highly visited. And the trail system, this is the next phase of completion, the most highly sought after area for completion of the trail in this area. And I just want to characterize, this has two real parts to it, folks. It's the people from the rest of the state want this. I mean, they're the ones that visit. They want it bad. They come in droves. Now, what it does for us is it drives the local economy. In fact, more than 50% of Cook County's receipts are tourism dollars. More than 50%. I'd say that likely, having not studied it, but I'd say likely that's one of the highest counties, if not the highest county in the state for tourism income. So it really is, this has always been a good match. It's not been rocket science. People love those parks up there. We need to keep them so they're not loving them to death. We need to maintain them so we don't have the backlog of maintenance. And we need to improve them so that we can continue doing handle the increased visitorship. And also, as another benefit to the community, is help with their jobs and economic development. So that's, unless you have questions of Ms. Erickson or I, that's it.
Representative Cole has a question.
Madam Chair, Representative Dill, when we complete this trail and have an inaugural ride on the trail, are you going to be joining us?
I was listening to you earlier about fitness. You think how big I would be if we didn't have this walking trail? I mean, I speak no better language than to endorse this trail, and you know, I'm like the speaker. I'm trying to downsize a little bit. She said publicly the other day, we're going to be walking that trail, Representative Mo.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yeah, Fort Rock is home to my favorite campsite in the state, so I like to go up there. But the question I have is, how close does this get us to finishing the Gitche-Gami Trail?
What, Ms. Erickson, answer that.
Madam Chair, members, the Gitche-Gami Trail is in phases, and I believe we will be asking for money for quite a few years. I could look up the date. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but this is not the last ask.
Representative Steele, you said that some construction will be this summer and some next. Can you tell me how much this summer?
The trail construction will be this summer. And if we can, it's in the road, the improvements on the road portions, such as at Teteguch, that's going to take a bit longer because we do it in cooperation with MnDOT. The campground, do you have a feel for the campground?
Madam Chair, Judy Erickson, Parks and Trails Council. The campground, the enhanced trail center at Teteguch is in cooperation with MnDOT funding. There is a trail center at Teteguch which is not in conjunction with MnDOT funding that could proceed. And then there is, in the bill that is before you, there's about approximately $2 million for rehab projects. Those projects could proceed immediately this summer.
In the DNR's list of things that need to be done on a biennial basis, they have deferred maintenance, and they have a list of new projects. And if my memory serves, there are projects proposed on that list for both Teteguch and Split Rock in that particular list of projects, which I think is important for you to look at, Representative Bill. I mean, that would be helpful. Representative Moss.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One last question. It's not on our list, but having visited the North Shore repeatedly and Representative Bill talking about the numbers of tourists you get there, and maybe you're better to answer this. As for usership, my assumption would be this is one of the busiest trails that we have, state trails. Do we know already? Do we know how many users the trail gets already?
Madam Chair, Representative Moe, we don't have that information. The trail is in segments, so there's like from Gooseberry to Beaver Bay. It's heavily used because it's about a 16-mile segment, but there are other shorter segments. I would have to check with the DNR and see if they've done any kind of a survey on usership of the trail itself. But the parks up there are in the top 10. All of them are in the top 10 of usership. And so those people who are using the parks, when you've got 500,000 or 600,000 people a year, those are the same people that are using the trail. So it's a good number, but I don't have it.
I don't see any other questions. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Next is Representative Gardner. We'll lay this over for consideration, lay over 2594 for consideration, Representative Gardner, House File 2461.
Good evening, Madam Chair. I'd like to move House File 2461 for possible consideration on your omnibus recommendation. Madam Speaker, I actually have a small oral amendment on the amount. Would this be the right time to do that?
It would be a good idea, yes.
The amount listed is $2.189 million, and because we have federal matching funds, they've requested that an inflationary factor be placed on this. The feds include inflation, I guess. They've asked us to make it $2.334 million.
And we'll certainly ask you about phasing in.
Very good. Madam Chair, members, thank you for your time in hearing about House File 2461, which is completing the last link in a wider North Metro Regional Trail system, the Rice Creek Chain of Lakes. You actually can see in some of the color handouts that Anoka County Parks has in the packet. An excellent map on the second page, which shows how this one particular trail section through the Rice Creek Chain of Lakes completes the link that allows you to go from trail systems in Forest Lake and Hugo through Centerville and then through Lionel Lakes, Circle Pines, and eventually to trail system in Shoreview, which would actually take you all the way to the Mississippi River in Fridley. I've actually biked in parts of this trail, but you can't make it all the way through the Rice Creek Chain of Lakes unless you're boating, and I've done that a few times. You have to wait until it rains, but my kids and I have actually kayaked down the Rice Creek Chain of Lakes. I've noticed that this is on the back page of the Parks and Trail Council bonding request for regional bonding, Rice Creek Chain of Lakes. Anoka County already owns the land needed for the trail at an estimated value of $7.4 million and will provide all future maintenance of the trail. To answer the five questions, this is just for construction. And the second question, this is I guess we'd call it a connection between established trails. And in fact, it would be completing a link, an uncompleted link. The number of dollars from the feds is matching funds of $1.05 million. And unfortunately, construction would not be started until 2009 because of, I believe, making sure to go through the federal design requirements. So we wouldn't be able to do it right away, but we'd also lose the federal funds if we didn't act this year. And this would not be part of the state trail system, so there would not be any expected operations and maintenance funding from the state. I have here John Vanderland, Director of Parks and Recreation for Anoka County, and the Mayor of Lionel Lakes, John Bergeson, who can talk briefly about the trail.
Thank you, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. For the record, my name is John Vondelinde. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation for Anoka County. Again, just referring to the handout quickly to hit a few more highlights. The project is located at the bottom of page one in that graphic in the southern part of Anoka County. It is just about 12 miles from downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul, so it's very close to the urban core. On the second page at the top is a graphic that shows where the trail that we are proposing is located. It is shown in red, and it does represent a link in the Rice Creek Trail Corridor, and also represents the missing link, really, in a 50-mile loop of trails that extend through Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Ramsey County back into Anoka County. So it completes a very important trail. It is a connecting trail. In addition, it will complete the 20-mile Rice Creek Trail Corridor that extends from the Mississippi River all the way east to the Washington County border, and the Hardwood Creek Trail, which is an existing trail in Washington County. This is a single-phase project. This is not a multiple-phase project, so we won't be back here seeking further dollars in the future. At the bottom of page 3 is a map that shows on a closer scale all of the various multimodal connections that this trail offers. It does connect to some local park and ride facilities. It connects to not only other regional trails to the east and west, but it connects to two other regional trails in Anoka County. In addition, it connects to town centers, community health and wellness facilities, several local schools, businesses, and retail centers, and in the back of your packet are a number of letters from the Centennial School District and also the local communities. At the top of page 3 is a chart that shows the number of people who live within 5, 10, and 15 miles of this trail, and I really want to highlight the fact that over 1 million people live just within 15 miles of this corridor. That's about one-fifth of the state's population within a 20-minute drive of this trail. We also estimate that the use of the trail will have about 400,000 annual visits, and how we know that is we already own and operate the Rice Creek West Trail through Anoka County and portions of the Rice Creek North Trail through through Ramsey County. That trail that already exists, based on Metropolitan Council surveys, has over 500,000 visits per year. With this addition, we will have a trail that will have almost 1 million, or perhaps more than 1 million uses per year. At the bottom of page 5, as Representative Gardner indicated, this is a construction-only project. There's no acquisition involved. The county has completed the acquisition, and we are ready to go. We do need to go through the federal design process. We anticipate bidding this fall. We hope to be out with boardwalk construction, which is a component of this project, this coming winter, 2008-2009. We expect about 64,000 hours of construction work in the trail involving about 30 small businesses, and we will be leveraging just over $1 million in federal transportation enhancement grants. I've already mentioned some of the other benefits that would accrue from this project, such as transportation, health, and also education for our local schools. On the top of page 4 is a graphic that speaks to sustainable design practices in this project. We want to have a model project. We want to do this in an environmentally sensitive way that uses best practices that incorporate environmental sensitivity, use of recycled materials, pervious pavers and asphalt, solar-powered lighting, and those kinds of aspects of our project to keep our footprint as minimal as possible. And then lastly, in terms of the funding, the county's contribution to date in this project is just over $8 million. That's land acquisition, a small portion of the trail that's already been constructed, as well as the widening of a bridge on Highway 49 to accommodate a pedestrian trail. The county will be responsible for all project coordination and management for this project and all ongoing maintenance, totaling just over $8 million. Our request tonight, as Representative Gardner indicated, is $2.334 million. For a total construction project budget of $3.384 million. And at this point, that concludes my comments. Mayor Burgess.
Thank you. Good evening. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Representative Gardner, for the record, my name is John Burgesson, and I'm the mayor of Lino Lakes. The City of Lino Lakes appreciates the opportunity to address your committee regarding the importance of this regional trail connection in the North Metro. When you look at a map of Lino Lakes, you'll notice something very unusual about our city. Separating the city from north to south and east to west is a jewel of a state resource, the Rice Creek Chain of Lakes Park Reserve.
This park, with its lakes, woods, wetlands, prairies, and wildlife, is our most valuable natural resource. In the mid-1990s, the city began to plan a mixed-use town center adjacent to this county, to this regional park, with the intent to link our town center neighborhoods to the regional park and to link our neighborhoods to the town center. The city has invested heavily in this effort, and the Metropolitan Council has provided more than $1.4 million in livable communities grants to support this development. Today, our town center includes a city hall, police station, a school district preschool building, the Chain of Lakes YMCA, which is busy night and day, and a newly completed complex of affordable housing. Coming soon is senior housing and an Anoka County regional library, that will all be connected by trails to the regional park. All of this began as an economic development effort in the mid-1990s, but underlying all of these efforts was a greater goal, and that is to create a healthful, walkable community where people can live, work, shop, and recreate. We are truly dedicated to community building rather than just building buildings. The city has invested heavily to link one neighborhood trail to another and to link these neighborhood trails to the regional park. Last year, the city completed a half-mile loop connecting our YMCA to the regional park. But one section of trail, this Rice Creek North Regional Trail being presented tonight, is the critical link, the capstone of the entire system, the one that makes it all come together. It will provide access to our city's 20,000 residents and tens of thousands more in adjoining communities, and these folks will now have access to trails in Anoka County, Washington County, Ramsey County, and places beyond. Once built, this trail will provide a great resource for families in our area. A family on the south side of the city will be able to bicycle through the park to the town center in less time than it would take to drive now. It's clear to me how critical this connection is to the regional system. As a resident of Lino Lakes and mayor of the city, and one who's driven around the regional park many times to get to the other side, I know that this trail will contribute to our residents' quality of life and to the success of our long-standing objective. Thanks to Representative Gardner and to this committee for your consideration of this modest request.
Thank you. Representative Moe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gardner, or maybe your testifiers can answer this question. Your mayor says a modest request, and given the somewhat challenging nature of the size of our bill, it actually would be the largest request if it was funded at the level you're asking. You said specifically that the federal match is tied to us, to the money coming forward for the match this year. Does that mean that the state has to come up with this amount this year in order to get the money next year, or does that money more broadly have to come up through the county or some other match with the state in order for the federal money to be available this next year?
I'll let the Anoka County tackle that one.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. We know that if we do not have this funding put together in the near future, we will not be able to get through the federal design sequencing process, which takes several months, and get the project under construction and finished by June 30, 2010, which is our deadline to complete the project, essentially. So we think that it's going to be necessary to have these funds put together and in place at least by this fall for the project to meet that deadline.
Madam Chair, again, not to be difficult, again, you know, you recognize the situation the committee's in. We're trying to stretch the resources, limited resources we have as far as possible. Would you be willing to make that information available to the committee so we know exactly, you know, what the federal government is saying and what we need to accomplish in order to make sure we don't lose these federal matching funds? I mean, that's obviously going to weigh heavily on our decision. And if there are any, I know you've apparently put in $8+ million into this project already. If any of those funds would qualify, the county has additional resources within your park and rec budget to support the project.
Madam Chair, committee members, we would be happy to provide that information for the committee.
Thank you. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And not necessarily a question, but I live on the southern part of the Rice Creek Regional Trail, and just to point out that this is the kind of trail that residents use weekly, if not 3 or 4 times a week. So the use is pretty high. I mean, I use the trail and go to where it stops, and probably 2 or 3 times a week during the summer. So it's, in terms of resources, well-used trail.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions. Thank you all for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, Representative Hodge. 2461 has been laid over for consideration, and now we have House File 2598, which I will move for consideration. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I know it's late and time is a valuable commodity that we all have, so I am going to be quiet and hand the presentation over to my two testifiers from the recording, Rockville and Cold Spring area.
Good evening, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Brian Herberg, the mayor of Rockville, and we're here tonight to request $2,020,035 for a 12.2-mile separated ADA-compliant bike pedestrian trail along the BNSF Railroad Corridor that has been citizen drive to this point. So far, we've received $526,964 from the federal government. The local significance of this trail is alternative mode of travel that will connect the three communities and the Ricori School. The three communities are RO from Rockville, CO from Cold Spring, and RI from Richmond to produce the Ricori, and two townships. This will provide an option of walking, biking, and further health recreational benefits. This has been identified in all three city comp plans. The regional significance, this will go beyond the three cities, become part of the Glacial Lakes Trail system from Richmond to Wilmer, and extend eastward through Waite Park into St. Cloud to connect the Beaver Island Trail. Extend northward to St. Joe to connect the Lake Wobegon Trail. And at this time, I will turn it over to Larry.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Larry Lahr. I'm a Wakefield Township resident for the past 34 years, just outside of Cold Spring. Third-generation farmer, and like Mayor Herberg, I'm a graduate of Ricori High School. I will keep my comments brief also out of respect for your time tonight. Most of you probably know that about 4 years ago there was a tragic shooting at Ricori High School, and the three communities, Richmond, Rockville, and Cold Spring, began at that time trying to find ways to both strengthen our individual communities, but then also to try to do more to bring the three communities together. The three cities have a history of doing projects cooperatively. Cold Spring and Rockville share wastewater. We have a relationship with the Wakefield Township and also City Cold Spring and Richmond, where we share a police department. But we began meeting as a group of citizens in 2004 at that time, and we began working on plans to develop a trail that would connect the three communities and the school district, like Mayor Herbert mentioned. And we've had many members that have been to virtually every single one of those meetings in the past 4 years, the monthly meetings. The project of the Quarry Trail is a rails with trails concept, and so the trail would be adjacent to the active railroad track. It's a very low traffic, low speed railroad line that is owned by BNSF and operated by a short line hauler. The trail committee has met with BNSF and that short line operator, and they have been supportive of the project thus far. At their suggestion, the committee had done a corridor study where we looked at the feasibility of the location of that trail adjacent to that corridor, and that study concluded that the project was feasible, and we began that as the starting point with the negotiations with BNSF and the short line operator Northern Lines. The Stearns County attorney has agreed to handle those negotiations, and that process is just now beginning. All three communities have hosted open houses. We've had a lot of support from the public, even those property owners that are immediately adjacent to the trail. Technically, this past summer, one portion of this trail was constructed. There was a short stretch in downtown Rockville that was constructed as part of a highway project. We do have people in our communities, even though it's rural Minnesota, that use non-motorized transportation as their sole source of transportation. It is happening even in our small town. I understand that there are some questions the committee was looking to get answered about these various trail projects, and I'm going to try to address those more directly. First of all, we understand that you're looking for projects that are ready for construction as soon as possible or immediately. And based upon that information, what we've suggested is that we would be willing to reduce our request. Mayor Herberg mentioned that it was just over $2 million that's submitted, and we'd be willing to reduce that request to $372,000. What that would fund is Brian Herberg mentioned what the federal allocation was for the project. That represents 80% of the construction. What we're looking for is the remaining 20% of construction, and then assistance with funding the right-of-way acquisition and also the engineering and related project costs. As far as local support, so far we've raised privately just over $90,000, and the cities of Richmond, Rockville, and Cold Spring, all three city councils have passed resolutions pledging the local support. Essentially, the difference between what we have received from the federal government and what would be hopefully received from the state of Minnesota. So again, to answer the question, the request of $370,000 is for both construction and also land acquisition. This is not, or I should say this is, I guess you'd characterize it as a new trail segment. Our stretch of 12.2 miles is not at all in existence at this point. But yet, since 1993, the DNR has had this trail, or this corridor, shown on their master plan for the Glacial Lakes Trail System. That trail right now, the corridor is owned by the DNR all the way up to where our point, or our trail project begins on the west side. And the plan is on the east side of our trail, we would have connections to the city of St. Cloud, Quarry Park, and some of those other regional amenities. We have had DNR officials at our meetings. They have been supportive as well. But again, this project thus far has been really a citizen-led effort, and it's not part of the DNR's active trail program. And I think with that, we'll take questions.
Representative Moss.
Thank you for bringing your dollar amount down that you're asking the committee. I mean, that'll obviously be helpful. Could you mention that there is local money available? Maybe you said this and I missed it, but how much local support have you been able to generate? And the second question that I have is 372, which obviously sounds a lot better to the committee. Will that be spent this year?
Madam Chair and members, as far as the local support, the amount that we've raised so far privately is $90,000. And the three city councils have pledged that they would match the difference that is left between the federal allocation, which again is $526,000, and whatever we do not receive from the state. And so hopefully we receive an allocation from the state. If there's a shortfall, the city councils have pledged to make that difference up. this would not be a project for construction in 2008. As it stands, the federal allocation that we received is for 2010, and we would need to see if we could speed up those funds, quite frankly.
Representative Mull.
Okay, so just to clarify that construction for this project is planned for 2010, and Representative Hoshman stands this. And my math isn't very good here. Would you just maybe give me how much the pledge support would be then from the city council? And you also have resolutions from them is supporting that you actually they're committed to doing that. Yeah. Okay. Good. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Mull. The $372,000 is imperative for moving forward so we can get the land acquisition right away to move the planning stages forward so then we can use the federal money and the other local pledged dollars for construction in the out years. But to continue on that timeline, that $372,000 is what would be needed. So the assumption is it would be expended with the engineering and with the right-of-way acquisition right-of-way.
So you would be spending that this year, even though the construction won't start until 2009 or 10.
Madam Chair, Representative Mull, from my understanding, is the ground wouldn't be broken right away, but, I mean, there's a lot of lead-up efforts that need to be done, and that's why we're looking for the $372,000.
Any other questions for members? I don't see any. Thank you all so much for coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
Yep. Okay. We just have
thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. And next will be Representative House File 2598 is laid over for consideration, and now we have Representative Hansen with 2199.
You may proceed, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I move House File 2199 for possible inclusion in the capital investment. I'm going to go to the five questions first. Is your request for land acquisition or construction? It's for construction. Is your request for a new trail, a new segment of an existing trail, or a connection between an established trail? It's removing a barrier that's currently in the trail system, so it would be a connection between established trails. Describe the local contribution. The City of South St. Paul has provided the $14,000 pre-design already and had provided, the city and the county have provided $200,000 for trailhead establishment and would look at also providing additional dollars for the actual construction. Will you be constructing this summer? This summer, we would be constructing. Do you envision this trail being part of the state trail system in the future? Yes, this is currently part of the Northern Dakota County Trail System. I have handed out a map, and you can see when this all is connected. There are still a number of gaps elsewhere in the county. But I will focus on what this project is. In 1932, a large land dam was built in Simon's Ravine. And it has a street over the top of it, 19th Avenue. And the existing trail that goes through Simon's Ravine has a 20% grade on one side and a 15% grade. And I've pushed the baby jogger up and down that trail, and it's not that easy. In addition, when you go up one side of the trail, you come to an active street that has quite a bit of traffic. You have to cross across traffic, against the traffic, to get to the other trail, to go down the trail. So this is really a safety project, as well as connecting the trail system. It is called a span arch bridge. Really what's being done here is building a tunnel through the land dam and making sure that you still have the integrity of that dam to support the bridge. So it the city's ask is for 1.4. My bill was introduced last session for 800,000. I believe we can do the bill for 800. I think we can get some additional dollars there that can make it happen, and we've tried to cut it down. So But it's a construction project that can begin immediately this summer and help connect that whole system. But ask for your support.
Questions, members? Representative Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hansen, you might have said this, and I was busy talking to our chairman at the beginning there. Is there local money already committed to the project as well? And the second question, you can answer them both at once. How much of the $800,000 apparently that you can live with will be spent this year?
Mr. Chair, Representative Moe, the city has already committed $14,000 for the design and $200,000 for a trailhead that is just down below that. I believe we can match that. We have a resolution from the city in terms of additional dollars. Again, their ask was for $1.4. The bill you have in front of us is for $800,000. And it would be completed this year. So we would intend to do the construction and complete the project this year and get the hiring done.
Further questions?
So, Representative Hansen, it's a 1.4, so we're essentially a $600,000 local match. That will be what happens this year.
Other questions, members? If not, we will lay this over for consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is Representative Saylor, House File 858. And while you're getting set, I will move the bill for possible inclusion. When you are ready, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And committee members. This must be Groundhog Day because this is the sixth time that we're back February. And at any rate, this is for the Big Bog request at Wasatch. This is a project that initially was funded in 2000, and the friends of the Big Bog were told we'll give you part of the money at this point and then the rest next year. So we are still waiting for next year. But this bill today is to finish up the project with the recreation area at the Big Bog, which has been extremely successful in terms of people getting an opportunity to come to Big Bog to learn about the importance of the bog and also enhance tourism in this part of the state. Rather than take a great deal of time at this point, I will turn it over to Gary Stensing, who is the vice chair of the Friends of the Big Bog, and he will tell you a little bit more about the status, the progress, and update you with regard to visitorship at the park and also things that have been going on with regard to the Big Bog. So, Gary Stensing.
Well, thank you, Brita.
State your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Gary Stensing. I'm the vice chair for the Friends of the Big Bog. I live in the Pattern Peatlands in northern Minnesota. It's the largest unbroken peatlands in the lower 48 states. Significance of peatlands are becoming more and more apparent as a carbon sequestration. In the peatlands of the world, there's 550 billion tons of carbon tied up. That's 70 years worth of fossil fuel emissions. Very significant. The water holding capacity in the Red Lake peatlands, sphagnum moss will hold, I believe it's 7 times or is it 31 times its volume in water. With the acre feet of water holding capacity in the Red Lake peatlands, if you were to squeeze it like a sponge, you'd cover the entire state of Minnesota with a foot of water. It is a very unique landscape region. There's 185,000 acres in the western part of the peatlands that is listed in the National Registry of Natural Landmarks. just as an example, you know, it's 585 square miles of unbroken peatlands. This summer I learned just how insensitive a lout I actually am. For our anniversary, I chartered an airplane out of Bemidji Aviation. And they flew up to Wasatch and landed at Wasatch International Airport. Well, Wasatch International Airport is a grass field. But plane taxied to within about 15 feet of our car. And we got the brief safety meeting. And we jumped in the plane and we took off. And you fly up and you go over the edge of Red Lake and you can see all the beach ridges. The closest beach ridge to the lake is only about 600 years. You go out, there's 26 beach ridges. There's a whole series of them. You get out towards the river, and that's 3,600 years old. Doing the archaeological survey work at the park, they found artifacts dating back 3,600 years. At that time, in the history of the peatlands, it was global climate was changing. It was warming. It was cooling. It had been warmer, and it was cooling. At that time, a lot of those peatlands were oak savanna. It's changing. It is an extremely unique place. I feel very privileged to live there, and I feel more privileged to be able to represent the people that helped to create this park by coming down again and again and again and again, and here I am again, and I'll keep coming down until we get this thing completed. In the year 2000, the park was created, like Breda said. It's currently 9,175 acres. It's in two units. I believe you did get a black and white map. The south unit is the campgrounds. All the infrastructure is down there. The north unit is basically wilderness. It contains the Big Bog Boardwalk. We've had people coming from all over the United States and Canada to visit that Big Bog Boardwalk. It's really something. If you haven't been there, you have to come up and check it out. It is so unique. Different times of the year, there's different plants blossoming. In the spring of the year, my wife and I went up there. Oh, it was about two springs ago. We hit the timing just right. The Canadian migrant birds were coming through. And we were walking, they were still building doing the construction on the access trail to the trailhead. And we walked around a corner, and it was just like somebody lifted a sound curtain. There were literally millions of birds. They were in the treetops, they were flying up above, they were in the middle canopy, they were on the ground, they were in the shrub layer. And it was one of those experiences that it just sends shivers up and down your spine. There's no place in Minnesota where you can see that other than in the peatlands, in the Big Bog. There's just so many stories. You know, I was called last week to come down to testify at this hearing, and I thought, oh my gosh, here we go again. What am I going to talk about? So many times I'd written it all out and read the prepared statements, and it's like, nah, forget that. I'm just going to wing it. I'm going to tell these guys exactly how I feel about it. Maybe share a little bit of the excitement about it. The thing is, we need to finish building this park. It is truly a success story. You've got a couple other handouts. There's the older one, the 2004, 5, and 6 attendance and revenue summary. I'll bring your attention to that. Actually, I'm going to bring your attention to something that happened before this. When the walleyes collapsed, that was really the impetus that helped bring the people of northern Minnesota together. We did a visioning process. We looked at what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses, and we came up with a list of 15 projects. The top of the list, the highest rank, was to create this state park. And when I first heard about it, I thought, yeah, right. We'll have to go up there and feed the mosquitoes. But the more I started looking into it, the more that I started understanding just how significant this is, how important it is, and what a true treasure we have here, I became committed to it. And maybe I should be committed because I am coming back down again and again and again. But I'm not ever going to give up on this until we get it done. But at that time, in 1998, when the walleyes collapsed, The state campground had 366 overnight guests recorded. There was a forestry campground at that time, right on the Tamarack River. I'm sure if any of you have ever fished on Upper Red Lake, you've been there, you've seen that. It was tough. I mean, our economics, the natural resources, our economics are tied directly to the natural resources in that area, whether it's walleye fishing, whether it's ecotourism, whatever, logging, all of the outdoor activities, that's directly tied to our economic well-being. Well, with 366 people at that campground, the walleye fishery had collapsed. You couldn't even buy a loaf of bread and walleye fish. It was desperate. Well, the worst of times bring out the best in people, and we all pulled together. We came up with this idea. We did the feasibility study. We went through all the processes. We had the town meeting. And, of course, if you've ever lived in a small town in northern Minnesota, you know how to get a unanimous vote from at a legal town meeting. That's like pulling teeth from an alligator. Well, I pulled them teeth. And we did get a unanimous vote. And our local contributions since 1999, that's on this other handout that we passed out, over $289,000 in local contributions. You know, if you look at that on a per capita basis, the census in Wasatch is 116 people. That's $2,500 for every man, woman, and child that has been contributed locally to that park. Our visitation has steadily increased. Overnight camping in 98, it was 366 guests. Well, in 2004, the park, right now the park is still only halfway built. That's why we're here, to finish building it. But in 2004, we had almost 4,000. 2005, we had almost 5,000. 2006, we had almost 10,000. And last year, we had over 10,000 overnight guests. We also had nearly 72,000 visitors. So our constituency has risen by 63% since 2004, since this park was created. Park revenues have increased by 369%. This park has generated over, and that they'll bring that to your attention on this report, it's up in this corner, over $102,000 in park revenues. It's paying for itself. It's earning money for the park system. It's providing a valuable niche for tourism in northern Minnesota. It's a regional impact. I would respectfully request that you include us in the bonding package in the amount of $1.6 million. We need $1,300,000 for the contact station upgrade. We need $250,000 for park development. The fish hatchery needs new siding, it needs new windows, it needs the interpretation. And then $50,000 for forest restoration on Ludlow Island for a total amount of $1.6 million. And I could keep on going on and on, but you've got others that need to follow too. But I do appreciate the opportunity to testify tonight and to share with you. And if you're ever up in Wasatch, you want to see Big Bog, just ask anybody in town, where is Jerry? How do I get a hold of Jerry? I'll take you out and I'll show you some things in that swamp that you never would have imagined existed. And I thank you very much.
And Mr. Stenson, thank you. We certainly understand that they send a good representative to describe the place for us. We have Representative Moore with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I said a comment. I've been up there, and in fact, on Saturday, I ran the trail with my dog sled from Wasatch over to Gemmel. And very few people know where that is. Areas of Minnesota that are untouched, even the boundary waters, doesn't compare. There literally is nothing but wild bog between those two places for about 50 miles on that trail. Nothing at all. I didn't cross any other road or nothing. And it's a truly remarkable gem in northern Minnesota that we need to build our constituency to visit. And the only way to do that is to get them there. So, Anyway, thanks for coming again.
Thank you.
Yep.
Other questions or comments? Then thank you both. We will lay the bill over for consideration.
Okay, and next we'll have Representative Portman, House File 1026. Good evening, members. My name is Melissa Hartman. Hopefully you all know that. What I have before you tonight is a bill requesting bonding money for a little portion of a trail in Coon Rapids. And this was heard last year in capital investment, and we had the city come down and do the whole presentation. But given that this is a rehearing of the bill, I thought it'd be simpler and faster if I could just walk through it. I think I'll take less than my 10 minutes. But you should have in your package, and I'm sure it's like buried, but a map. It has a plat map on one side, it has a Yahoo map on the other. So some of you might look like a door knocking map. If you look on the side that looks more technical, you can see that the Burlington Northern Railroad tracks is on the right, and East River Road is on the left. And it has the word Fridley over there. The city of Fridley sought and obtained money from the federal government to build a trail from University Avenue to the railroad tracks along 85th Avenue in my neck of the woods. The trail stops at the railroad tracks, but my proposal is to complete the trail over to East River Road. And there's two key reasons for that. All the houses you see between Burlington Northern and East River Road, this is a family neighborhood where there are a lot of kids that go to elementary school, and they are within walking distance of the elementary school that, if it were shown on your map, would be in the upper left-hand corner. The other reason it's really important to complete this trail all the way is because this is a heavily used transit corridor. The Mississippi River Trail goes along East River Road for bicycle commuters and just regular trail use. And then over to your right is Northtown, which is a transit hub, a big, huge park and ride with a lot of transit ridership. All along this road, 85th Avenue, there are bus stops, but there are no shoulders whatsoever. And then on the north side of this road is a senior community. And the senior citizens walk over to Northtown, walk over to the Panera and things like that. And there's really no safe route for either the bikers who are going to park their bike and take the bus in, or for the school kids to get over to Adams Elementary School, or for the senior citizens to walk to the community assets that they have. The city of Fridley got a substantial amount of money from the federal government. I want to say it was $7.5 million to construct this trail. So what we're looking for is $500,000 to finish this sort of orphan piece that's in the city of Coon Rapids, because that railroad track is the dividing line between Fridley and Coon Rapids, which is why Fridley's not finishing it. So to answer your five questions, this request is for construction funds. The land will be donated by Anoka County because they own the right-of-way. It is a connection between two well-established trails. There's also a well-established trail along University Avenue that not only connects the transit hub at Northtown to the Mississippi River Trail, but it also connects it to the bike trail on University. The local contribution is the land, and then the federal government paying for the whole rest of the trail, which is the substantial portion of the trail. And the city would construct this right away. They've already gone through the process of figuring out what type of engineering they'd have to do to make it work. And I don't know what requirements there are to become a part of the state trail system, but this is certainly connecting trails that are within the state trail system already. Any questions? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Portman, so you're asking for $500,000. And the questions I'll have for you are, one, you know, I'm assuming that's what is needed this year, but you can maybe answer that question. And two, how much is the federal match? How much money are we talking about? And maybe give us an idea of what the local match is in dollar value for that property. Three, just reassure us that those resources will be available, as that's already committed.
Madam Chair, Representative Mo, I don't know the value of the local land that's being donated, but the federal funding that the city of Fridley has obtained, I believe, is $7.5 million. So the total, you know, cost of completion for this whole project is $8 million, and $7.5 million is coming from the feds.
Representative Moss.
And is the federal funding contingent upon the state money?
No, the federal money has already been secured, and they actually were going to build it last summer, and they had a little hang-up with some federal legislation, as we all know. But it came through, so they'll be building it this summer.
I don't see any other questions. House File 1026 would be laid over for consideration for recommendation. Thanks so much. Representative Lilly, House File 1522, and I will move that for possible consideration. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I recommend you get up. You guys are tough. Move around a little bit. I think I'm getting a lot older in that chair. But get up and move. That's all I recommend.
The quicker you can get there, the quicker we can move.
Okay. Well, you asked a lot of questions, Frank.
Yeah.
<No.
laughs>
Of course, maybe the other ones are tougher. This bill last year was included in the bonding bill, and as we know what course that went. So we're coming back with it. It's the Gateway Trail. I don't envy you with all the choices you have before you, a lot of presentations. And a couple things have changed since then. One, it's not a bridge, or it's not a tunnel anymore. We're asking for a bridge. So I don't know if you need to amend that at some point. And then we have a report from the DNR, and the DNR says in some of their writings that they've deemed this as one of the most dangerous intersections on a trail in the state of Minnesota. So that's kind of new information. I've asked the staff to pass out a packet, and as you can see, this really is, I think, the number one used trail system certainly in the metro and perhaps the state. Incredible numbers, especially during the summertime, and so it gets a lot of use. It's not as beautiful as David Dale's Split Rock, but gets a lot of use. And at the very end of it, there's some pictures that are included, and these pictures are three pages of them, and it'll kind of show the nature of the intersection that we're hoping to bridge over. And especially since Highway 36 is nearing completion and we've lost some access, some intersections there. There's even more traffic at the intersection of 120 and Highway 36. This is actually on the border of my district, but I just really think it's that important. And this trail obviously is a huge asset for the state of Minnesota and the East Metro, but there's not as many accidents between cars hitting pedestrians that you would think. Really what it is more often is car-on-car accidents because they're trying to stop, if they will, for a pedestrian in the walkway or something. So it's really quite dangerous. I'll be real quick here. We're ready to go on construction, I would think, next year, or the summer, rather, excuse me. It's connecting, essentially, an existing trail. There is no local money. It's a DNR, a trail system that currently exists in our state. And again, the summer. And the last question is, it'd be part of the state trail system. Thank you very much for your time. If there's any questions, I'd gladly hear them. And if you want to add the beauty of Split Rock there, we'd have it. But again, it's kind of what some of the folks have said. It's just, it gets a lot of use, a lot of multiple use to the, you know, people just trying to fight the growth in our midsections and that sort of thing, and mental health, and I don't know, you know the deal. Any questions?
Let me move on line 1.7 to change the word tunnel to bridge. Any questions, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Amendment is adopted. Okay.
Oh, and we're going to have to do that on 1.2 too, also. It won't make any difference because this would be language enough. We're going to be okay. Any questions for Representative Lilly? Yes, Representative.
Not so much a question, but a comment. Thank you, Ms. Chair and Representative Lilly. I know I've gone on this trail a lot, and it's a very dangerous intersection. It was an opportunity missed last year when we couldn't do the tunnel with all the road construction happening there, but it's very, very dangerous. I agree. It's the traffic is amazing there.
Thank you. Representative Moe?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Park and Rec is my field, and I've never seen an intersection this bad. I mean, that's horrible. And so, Representative Lee, could you tell us what was in the bonding bill last year that was vetoed, and has the price now escalated because we've had to wait another year?
Madam Chair and Representative Moe and other members, I'm not certain of the exact amount. At that time, as I mentioned, we were looking at tunneling, and Highway 36 was in the midst of a major highway project. So, to be quite honest, that's certainly a possibility that it might. We're still trying to hone in on those numbers, and I think on the Senate side, they're pretty far along on their bill or something is my understanding. And they might have the number of $750,000 in their bill. So ours is, as is proposed here, is at $650,000. And I was uncomfortable to say that number because I don't have my arms around it yet, sir. You want that by the morning? I'll happily provide it.
Yeah.
Some of the staff was missing. We do not respect President's Day down here at the Capitol, but so some of my people I was trying to get a hold of this evening were missing in action, if you will.
Madam Chair, Representative, if there is additional information on the numbers that you're asking, that would be really helpful.
Thank you for the question.
Okay. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Let's see. House Bill 1522 will be laid over for possible inclusion. Is Representative Hornstein here? He is not. Well, we're just going to go then on to Representative Faust, House Bill 2881. Wait, I thought it was Hornstein. Welcome to the committee. I will move House File 2881 for you for possible consideration.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I have with me Mora City Administrator Joel Dine, and he will do most of the talking tonight. One thing that I will point out right out of the chute is that this is about a $500,000 project, almost anyway, and we're asking for only $100,000 of that $500,000. So we are getting a pretty good bang for the buck on this one compared to a lot of the other projects. So with that, I will turn it over to Joel Dine to explain the project and then answer any questions you may have.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Powell. We're before you with a project of 2.5.
Why don't you put your name on the record, if you would?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Joel Dine. I'm the city administrator for Mora. The project that we're looking at is a 2.6-mile paved, multi-use, non-motorized trail. It's located entirely within Mora. The trail would continue our system of trails about 2.6 miles currently we have in place, and would also connect a number of different parts of our community to provide access to parts of the community that aren't already served by trails. It would also connect with the proposed trail that Kanabec County is working on on an abandoned Burlington Northern right-of-way that would connect from Mora to Hinckley and ultimately with the Willard Munger Trail. The trails that we have now in the community are heavily used. We don't have any specific numbers It's hard to sit out and count people as they're driving by or walking by. But they are heavily used, and in our comprehensive plan surveys, trails are the number one recreation facility that our citizens are asking for. The project is almost $500,000. We've just recently received approval of our $300,000 transportation enhancement grant through the Regional Development Commission. That grant won't be finalized until June, so we're looking at probably construction in 09. We are excited about it. The city does have about $100,000 set aside, and we're asking for $100,000 from the bonding bill. I guess I won't take up any more time. I think you've got a copy of my synopsis and a trail map. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Are there any questions, members?
If I can add one thing, this is will add to the largest trail system in the entire county and the heaviest used trail system in the entire county.
Thank you for that. Representative Paul.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Faust. So just to be clear, the construction is planned for 2009, but is this $100,000 that you're asking for now, is this leveraging money this year? I mean, there's obviously a press. Tell us the pressing need for the $100,000 this year. What is this? What is this going to do for the money that you have coming and for the construction?
The $100,000 this year would enable us to get our plans and specifications done this year, and all the right-of-way is acquired, so there's no right-of-way acquisition needed. It's mostly just the plans and specifications that would allow us to get those done this year.
And this will be spent then this year, if necessary to spend this money?
Yeah, if we want to construct in 09, yes.
Any other questions, members? I don't see any. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, Representative Hornstein, are you here now? This is the fast track night. We have over 20 bills, so we're asking people to be extraordinarily short in their presentations, if you would. And you have House File 2829, and I will move that for possible consideration, as well as a bill that is not yet a House file.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will be brief given the hour. I appreciate the opportunity to testify on House File 2829, and I do have a amendment that I'd like considered to get the bill in the shape we'd like to get for the committee. It's the JTA03 amendment.
Would you like to explain the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is an amendment that, since our bill deals with lighting, this is an amendment that ensures that the lighting to be installed in these parkways conforms to and nationally recognized standards for efficiency, as well as minimizing light pollution. So I thought that would be very appropriate and amendment to add to this legislation.
I will move that amendment for you, Representative Hornstein. That's the A1 amendment. Members, do you have any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And I think in the interest of moving things along, quite a bit of my testimony for this bill is also appropriate for the next one, although they are separate bills and we'll address them separately. But the issue of parkway lighting in the Minneapolis park system is critical because this is one of the most heavily used recreational venues in the entire state of Minnesota. 15 million visitors a year come to this park system annually, and the parkways are not only major connectors for the park visitors, but also for the regional parks themselves. We have running, biking, walking, even commuting, bicycle commuting going on these parkway systems. And so the Grand Rounds is the major hub of all of this activity, includes some of the familiar destinations such as the Cedar Lake Trail, the Kenilworth Trail, the Northeast Diagonal. And so carrying this amount of traffic means that we need to ensure safety, both in terms of crime prevention, but also the nature of the uses to ensure that both for bikers and walkers we're maximizing safety. So the parkway lighting is something the city has been trying to solve for a long time, and we've separated the bonding asks in past bonding sessions, and we're told to wait. The city is in full support of the park board's request for bond funds to rehabilitate the Grand Round system, but we've received as a city so much pressure from our parkway users to get this done, we felt it had to move forward now. And so we need the requested state funds to match local funds to get the lights done, and I would add that I think there's also a very good possibility of a federal match. We have heard from Congressman Oberstar, so another reason why we need to move quickly here. So this is, again, in conclusion, very, very needed for a very, very worthwhile park and recreation venue. It's, again, not only used by the citizens of Minneapolis, but really it's a regional asset and, in fact, a statewide asset. We want to make sure it's as safe as possible, and that's what this bill accomplishes.
Other questions, members? Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hornstein, so you're going to be introducing the second bill.
Correct.
Okay. Many of us have spent a lot of time on these trails and are grateful for them. What's the city's contribution to renovating the lighting on the trail system?
Sure. Madam Chair and Representative Moe, I'd like to have John Wirtjes, who's the Director of Traffic and Parking Services for the City of Minneapolis, answer that question and perhaps fill in any holes that I might have left in my testimony that might be worthwhile to discuss from the city's vantage point. So thanks for that question, Representative Moe.
Madam Chair, committee members, thanks for entertaining us tonight. Quick question.
Would you put your name on the record?
Sure. John Wirtjes, Director of Traffic and Parking Services, Minneapolis Public Works Department. The city's contribution and match is located on the slides. Kind of a tough thing to see, but it's a small numbers at the bottom. Right now, the city has spent to date approximately just shy of $2 million in its own dollars in moving the street lighting forward. And we plan to continue to plug away at it. As you can see in our capital funding program, it ranges in the $150 to $300 range, $300,000 range on a yearly basis.
So you'll be asking, you're asking the requesters for $2 million this year and then $2 million again in 2010 for proposed. But the city's portion for the whole project would be $2.579 million.
That is correct.
Any other questions? Well, we'll lay House Bill 2829 over for consideration, and if you go to your next one. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members. This has been the second of this two-part series we have on the Grand Rounds and the bikeway system in the city of Minneapolis. And this is an appropriation for the entire project. Again, the first bill just dealt with the lighting. This deals with, again, some of the capital kinds of improvements I mentioned when I described the first piece of legislation. This is the Grand Rounds National Scenic Bikeway, and again, it extends all the way from Southeast Minneapolis East River Road to Stinson Boulevard in Northeast Minneapolis. And we're also looking at repairing and reconstructing portions of this existing 55-mile scenic bikeway. So it's to complete this loop and then to make existing repairs or repairs to existing portions of the bikeway. So again, we're talking about a 55-mile loop of paths, bikeways, and parkways encircling the city of Minneapolis. This was established over a century ago, and interestingly enough, it's the first scenic byway in the nation. And it's part of the regional park system. And we talked again about the 15 million visitors per year. So there's one thing maybe to take back from this hearing, to share with friends and family that we have 15 million visitors. It's a huge number, and I think that's increasing. The trend's clearly increasing. 40% of the users are from outside the city, again, underscoring what I said in the previous bill, that this is clearly a regional and, in fact, statewide asset. And then, you know, again, I can talk on and on about how beneficial this is for a variety of reasons, not only recreation, but I think we're also looking at this is increasingly utilized corridor for bike and pedestrian commuters. The Park Board has secured commitments of $824,000 and various federal, county, and Met Council funds for the Victory Memorial portion, $760,000 budgeted from the City of Minneapolis. Again, we heard previously for the lighting. And finishing this missing link will complete the Grand Rounds loop around Minneapolis, hoping to connect northeast Minneapolis to the rest of the city. That's why this is so important, to provide those recreational and commuter opportunities for the northeast part of the city that we enjoy on the south side. So with that, I'll conclude my testimony. I have three additional folks here to answer questions, and I think in the interest of moving things along, we'll ask for questions from the committee, and then unless you all want to add anything now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hornstein. This has been outside of the Metro Parks bill, I take it, so that this was not on the list with the Minneapolis Park and Rec Board. There were two other projects that were in there.
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Scalzi, I'll call on Michael Kimball from the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board to clarify that, if that's a very good question.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. That is correct, Representative. The Metro Parks, Regional Parks bill is a completely different bill.
Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hornstein, so this bill has been introduced, but it's just yet to receive a number. That's a simple question, one. And then, two, could you just review for us? This is a pretty significant chunk of money and would represent somewhere around half of what we would be dedicating to these projects. Can you do it for less? You know, what's the city contribution to this?
Madam Chair and Representative Moe, I'll answer the first one, and then I will defer to either Mr. Kimball or Commissioner John Irwin, who's with the Park Board as well. But this has just been dropped in the hopper, so I don't, I'm not aware if it has a file number yet, but it will be moving forward. So, but let's hear on your second question, why 10 million, and I think that's a point well taken. Mr. Kimball, Mr. Irwin, on that.
Yes. Thank you again. We can get going on most aspects of this. Certainly, we could do with less, and we would probably get going on all the aspects, the lighting, the parkway paving, and other parts of this, including design, the missing link, engineering design. I also have for you a PowerPoint that we prepared, and I'm not going to go through it because I understand time is tight, but what it does, it gives you some more information, some locations, some character shots of the needs of the Grand Round, such as the paving and the lighting and the St. Anthony Bridge, which is a separate project also. And let's see, and the second question, I'm sorry, Representative.
The Madam Chair.
City portion?
City portion.
Okay. That's, I think what I'll do, Representative, is kind of clarify something. The city's bill is strictly for parkway lighting, and they are responsible for that by agreement. And in return, the park board has taken back responsibility for the street trees throughout the city. The lighting portion in this bill is for parking lot and pathway lighting, which also has a similar need as the parkway lighting. It's deteriorating rapidly, and it's a system that's basically out of date and falling apart.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Moe.
Thank you. So just to clarify then, this is a request from the park board, not the city itself.
Yes, it is.
And the city of... Does the park board have resources that is also contributing to this project, or is the city going to be contributing via the park board?
The city's project will be separate. We are applying for other grants and have been, and I've got a fact sheet that's also attached to this document that outlines some of those. Representative Hornstein did mention some of those, so we are kind of piecing together the rehab of the entire system as we go, and we have had approved grants from other sources. We do not have a lot in the way of our own funds for this project.
I don't see any other. If you want to say something.
Yes, sure, quickly. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members. My name is John Irwin. My day job is I'm a horticulture professor at the University of Minnesota, and I used to be a park commissioner on the park board. I'm retired. And my relevance to this is I'm the chair of the Citizens Advisory Committee that's coming up with design for finishing this missing link. And I'll just say two things I think that are the most compelling reasons to support this project. You've heard how much this is used. What it is actually represents the second most visited tourist site in the state of Minnesota. So it is clearly a heavily used and an important piece of the tourism industry for this state. Beyond that, the missing link project itself was envisioned since the late 1800s. It's been attempted, we've tried to finish this thing five times since 1900. Five committees have tried to finish this. So it's an ongoing project that's been very difficult to finish. And that brings me to the second reason. We're in a unique opportunity right now to get federal funding. Representative Overstar came down to be part of the kickoff for this project because he wants to support it very much. And so we have the opportunity to get federal dollars. It's the only scenic byway system that exists completely in an urban area, which makes it unique in the entire nation. So we think we have a real potential to get some federal dollars, but what we need some sort of commitment from both the local government and also the state government, which will help us get those dollars. So that's why we're here before you. I encourage you to support it because it would really be helpful with getting the federal support as we go into this. So again, this is not a Minneapolis project. There's a tendency to focus on that. It's regional, state, and federal amenity. That's why the money is coming from those different sources. Thank you.
Representative Paul, did you have one more question?
Yes, thank you. Obviously, we'd like to leverage all the federal dollars possible, like passing a transportation bill or allow us to do or whatever. But do you have any commitments for that? I mean, do you know how much money we're talking about, or is it just kind of a verbal discussion you've had with Representative Oberstar?
The verbal discussion. Tom, do you want to talk about any of that as far as what level of commitment?
Thank you, members of the committee. I'm Tom Johnson, Hay Dobbs Associates, consultant of the project. We have been in touch with Congressman Overstar's office and have indicated that over a 11-year period, the amount of federal money that we might be seeking would be well over $50 million. Could be as high as 70. And so we're not saying that we have that commitment, but we have interest.
If I could just add, there's been some discussion as far as whether this is isolated to the city, and the committee members need to know that we've talked with St. Paul and that we're looking at how to connect this to the St. Paul Grand Round system and also St. Anthony Village and St. Anthony Park. And so we're going beyond the city boundaries in this project.
Thank you all so much. Is there any other questions from members? I don't see him, so we will lay
thank
over
you, Madam Chairman.
File XXX. I understand it does have a number, but we don't have it with us. So, thank you. Representative Corrin is next. And Representative Corrin has two bills. Which one do you want to take up first?
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 2929, I would like to have removed from the agenda. So we'll just take up House File, 2511.
All right. I will move then House File 2511 for possible consideration. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. And I do have a couple of oral amendments that I would like to have amended to the bill.
And what would those be?
The first one is the dollar value on line 1.6 and line 1.11. Change the $850,000 to $400,000.
All right. I will make that motion, members. Anytime you're reducing money, I suspect members heard the motion. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment has been adopted.
Okay, and one more further oral amendment. On line 1.7, after the word path, insert and bicycle trail.
All right, on 1.7, I will move to amend that after path, we add and bicycle trail. Any questions from members? I don't see any questions. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? That amendment is adopted. If you'd want to continue, you know the routine here, we're being very fast.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And with that in mind, I think we'll go right to Mr. Gene Wenstrom, and he will explain the details of the Clark City trail and path.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Gene Wenstrom, and I do economic development work for the city of Clark City, and I'll just briefly go through the six questions. I think you have them in your packet, but this request is for construction only. For number two, this will combine some existing routes with 2.4 miles of new trail. Local contribution will be $425,000. That comes, $225,000 is coming from the Area Transportation Partnership that was just recently received. We have some local donations of $45,000 in Burlington Northern. Gave $50,000 after they had a major trail derailment and half the town was evacuated. Get a couple more derailments, we maybe won't have to ask for any money from you, but who knows. We will begin construction, I think your handout says in the spring of 2009. I think we've actually begun the fall of 2008 this year. We have a copy of the regional trail in Clark City that identified as a potential trail Greenway main corridor, and I think if we for the number six, if we could get $225,000, I think we could make the rest of the project work.
$225,000.
Yes.
I'm sure members of the committee heard that. Okay. Are there questions for members? Representative Moe.
Madam Chair, so $225,000, obviously that sounds a lot better than $800,000 and than the other bill you have in, too, Representative Coon. And did that leverage additional local resources? Maybe you could review that for us.
Yes. That would leverage the $225,000 from the ACT funding. It would leverage the $50,000 from the Burlington Northern. And we have current budgets from the citizens of $45,000, and the city of Clark City, City Council is committed to making up the difference.
And just for you, Madam Chair, for the committee, how much difference that would be?
Well, the whole project is about an $800,000 project, so it would be about, we would be leveraging whatever the, about $575,000.
Other questions from members? I think we're slowing down. I don't see any other questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Some of us had an opportunity to tour up there. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Is Representative Atkins here? I don't see Representative Atkins, but I do see Representative Lincheski. So welcome to the committee, Representative Lincheski. I'm going to move House File 2707 for possible consideration. I just want to mention that House File 2511 was laid over for possible consideration. You have a lot of fans on this particular bill.
I do. Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, members, and thank you for moving my bill. And very seriously, Representative Wagenius and all of you, thanks for sitting here all night and hearing this. And I just, I'll take a minute, and then I have two testifiers who'd like to take a minute. This bill is actually very different than everything you've heard, and I've heard them all. I came in on Representative Moore's bill, and this is not a local project. This is truly a state bonding project. And the reason I tell you that is the bridge in question was a state highway. It was a state highway. It was built in the early 1900s, and when Minnesota determined that they would put in a new highway, Highway 77, which many of you, if you've been near the Mall of America, have traveled on, they gave the bridge to the city of Bloomington. The city of Bloomington did not want it. The city of Bloomington knew it would be a liability, that it would have lead paint on it and drip into the Minnesota River, and tried to say, no, don't give us your bridge and leave us with your maintenance problems. But MnDOT left Bloomington with its maintenance problems. Bloomington then kept it open for car traffic for quite some time till it could no longer because it was structurally unsound, and it became a transit way. And that worked fabulously. It connects South Minnesota for getting into the Twin Cities area across the Minnesota River. So we've had bikers and hikers and birders and cyclists, and for some of you who are at the rally, we had 500 people crammed in there. It's a very exciting project. People really want it. What happened, it became so structurally unsound, it's boarded off, so we cannot let anyone walk across it even. Very unfortunate, also because the state of Minnesota, when it built the new Highway 77, built a suspended bike trail under the bridge. So as you come through South Minnesota, you ride your bike under the bridge, hanging over the bridge, until you get to this bridge, and that takes you the rest of the way across the wetlands. Well, the bridge doesn't work. So now we have a very nice, new, expensive commuting transitway for bikers connecting South Minnesota into the metro, and they can't get across, so they get to this bridge and they cannot carry it. We've actually had renegade bikers take their chances, carry their bikes over their heads and try to crawl under and run across, and very dangerous situations to the point that Bloomington police have had to really close the thing down and try to monitor it. We've had children take risks down there and then hurt at taxpayers' expense to try to get them off of ropes that they've been tangled in trying to do things. So we have this large community who's worked very hard to get this bridge reopened. It's very beloved. It's very beautiful. If you've been there, the bonding committee was there last year, and we just had a great time. So we'd like to get it back to be the transit way it was designed to be, and it's very unique in that it's in the Minnesota National Wildlife Refuge, which is the only urban wildlife refuge in the country. So I also, if I may, Madam Chair, I have Councilmember Steve Alkins from Bloomington, who's been an advocate with me for 7 years on this project, and one of my own constituents, and a wonderful person who is an environmentalist and has all kinds of information for us, Chuck Schultz.
Okay. You'd like to say a few words?
I'm Bloomington City Council Member Steve Elkins, and would like to point out that from a transit way perspective, this is the only bike ped crossing of the Minnesota River between the Bloomington Ferry Bridge area and the Interstate 494 bridge. So the very west end of Bloomington and the very east end of Bloomington. And so if you need to go from Burnsville to Minneapolis, you've got to either go all the way east of the 494 bridge to get across, or all the way west of the Bloomington Ferry Bridge in Shakopee to get across, and there's nothing in between right now. So that's a major gap in the bike ped transit way in the region. Towards the transportation purposes, we have been awarded a $1 million Safety Lou Transportation Enhancement Grant several years ago. That is a program for the 2009-2010 Transportation Improvement Program for the region, which it means we would have that federal money to spend as soon as the beginning of the fiscal year that begins this summer. So we could, the city is prepared to, you know, start work on that right away. And if we can't, you know, obtain the rest of the funding, then in another couple of years that funding will be
will sunset and will just be another $1 million into the hole. The trail is also, the bridge is also an integral part of the Minnesota Valley Trail, and would be remiss if I didn't note that it's also on the Parks and Trails Council's list as well.
All right. Madam Chair, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chuck Chose. I walk the old Cedar Avenue Bridge nearly every day from 1999 until it closed at the end of 2002. The bridge crosses Long Meadow Lake, and Long Meadow Lake is a glorious marsh with abundant and varied wildlife. It's a busy outdoor education site. It's a constant source of bird sighting alerts on the internet, and it's a Minnesota birding hotspot, and the bridge brings the marsh to the people. It's the bridge that provides accessible, elevated, priceless viewing of the wetland and wildlife. It's the bridge that makes this the crown jewel of the Minnesota Valley Refuge. Many birds don't mind people on the bridge. They swim right up and give rare and exciting viewing. People loved it. All sorts of bikers, hikers, joggers, nature lovers, and birders came. Even families, lots of them. Even people by themselves with wheelchairs and walkers. I've seen people with walkers and oxygen bottles. Not just once, but every now and then. The parking lot is handy. The bridge and causeway are wheelchair friendly. There was a near constant trickle of people crossing the bridge in all daylight hours. And almost everyone stopped on the bridge, however briefly, to take a look and take something good with them. The bridge gives ordinary people VIP viewing of a wetland treasure, and many, many good people love it. Please help bring it back. And thank you so much for letting me speak.
Thank you for your passion. I appreciate that. Any questions for members? Representative Mo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Winkowski, you have $1 million of federal money that's already, that will be, and there's, is there a city match as well? And did you say that now with city council?
Well, no, I didn't. And I think it's the best to have a council member, Elkins is on our city council, speak that, address that. But I should say, to give credit to council member Elkins, in this process, and I've been carrying this bill for 7 years, it's been heard 3 or 4 times, it's made in the bonding bill a couple times, and it, now we're in danger for losing the money we've already received to finish the project off, and it's dripping lead paint into the Minnesota River. But it's really Councilmember Elkins, who was too modest to tell you that it was really he single-handedly who fought and got everybody in line to get that federal funding. So the Met Council is the responsible organization, holds it, and is holding it for us, waiting for the final piece. But the City of Bloomington as well has submitted its share of the project. We're just looking for the state piece and reminding you it is a state bridge. It's not a local bridge.
Yeah. We know if or when the bridge ultimately collapses into the lake, the city will be on the hook for, you know, as much as $1 million just to take it away. And so the city council has said, well, we're on the hook for, you know, if nothing happens, we're eventually on the hook for $1 million. So we're good for up to $1 million is where we're at right now.
Any other questions, members? I don't see any other questions. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
And sitting patiently for so long. This, I know this is a long night.
Thank you so much.
Representative Nornis is next. We'll lay over House File 2707 for... Okay. Oh, he's back. Okay, you'll be next. Representative Nornis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I feel I'm jumping ahead of you a little bit, but I sure appreciate it. So.
Pardon?
I say I appreciate, I moved ahead in the agenda, and I do appreciate that.
All right, I will move House File 2431 for you.
Okay, and I'll make this as brief as I can. I know you have a series of questions that you wanted me to address. This is in regard to the Roger Hanson Memorial Trail, which is located in Virtus, Minnesota, which is part of my legislative district. It's a small community right in the middle of Lake Country. And Roger Hanson served as a state senator, and later he served also as the commissioner of the PUC. and passed away several years ago. The community has decided to build this trail and memorialize Senator Hansen. The total cost of this project is about $400,000, and they have already completed phase one. They've raised all but $50,000 to complete this trail. It runs from Loon Lake, which is on the edge of town, past the senior center and to downtown Burgess. It's not a part of the state trail. It doesn't connect to anything other than it connects a recreational area at the lake, which is on the edge of town, to the downtown area. Provides a safe way to travel other than by car from one point to another. So, again, the request for the $50,000 in this bill is just to finish the construction. They're under some time crunch because some of the grants that they've received are timed, and if the project isn't completed by the end of June of this summer, some of those grant dollars may go away. So it's kind of critical that they finish the project. So they have done a good job of raising the money of that $400,000. So as I mentioned, this is not part of a existing trail. It's not a it is a new trail, but it's a kind of a short trail. And as I also said, the construction is nearly completed except for that final phase. I think that probably covers it pretty well.
Members, are there questions? Representative Moore.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Nornis, if $50,000 is required to complete the trail, or are there additional resources that we won't have access to by not securing this $50,000?
They have commitments to all but the $50,000. The problem is some of those grant dollars may go away if they can't raise that final segment. The community has already raised in excess of $50,000 themselves. But they have a MnDOT grant and some other grants. The Dean Trust has provided some money. So they've collected money from a variety of sources to finish it. But they're just under a little pressure for this last little segment, the last chunk of money to finish it.
And Madam Chair, do we know how much that is? How much are we leveraging by this $50,000? We're obviously asking this of all of the...
Well, the other commitment would total about $350,000.
Okay. And, yeah. Madam Chair, so, and that's all or partly dependent upon this $50,000?
They will have to raise the money some way. They will raise the money. They will, in order to finish it, they will have to do it. If this isn't an avenue that works, then they'll have to go scrambling someplace else. So it will be completed. They're committed. A lot of the work is done. They won't leave it three quarters finished. So.
Okay. Members, are there other questions? I don't see any other questions.
Okay,
Thank you.
I appreciate your time and consideration.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Representative Atkins, House File 2431 has been laid over for possible consideration. Representative Atkins has House File 2546, and I will move that for possible consideration.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for your diligence as well. I know you guys have been meeting, it seems, hour after hour, day after day.
We have, actually. And so we are being very fast tonight.
We're absolutely going to do that. This is a 112-year-old bridge. It's now or never. It's set for demolition. If we don't do something with it, it's going to be taken down. The point of doing something with it, it's kind of like Representative Lincheski, is a humongous opportunity. It actually is a bridge that extends out in the Mississippi River in a beautiful location within the city of Inverell Heights. It's got a long and storied history dating back over a century, including John Dillinger escaping from police as he went across. With me tonight, I have Mayor George Kerrville, who made it just moments ago and is here to walk you through the project in a relatively rapid fashion. We'd appreciate your support, Mayor Kerrville.
Again, good evening, bonding group and representatives, and thank you for the opportunity. We were in front of you last week on Heritage Park, and this is part of the Heritage Park amenity, and I was to address a couple of items. Number one, the regional significance. And again, the bridge is part of the Mississippi River bridge. It is also part of the Great River Road, Concord Boulevard, Heritage Village Park, and also part of the Mississippi National River Recreation Area. And it would be part of the trail that would run from Lilydale, again, to Hastings in this phase. So it would be an amenity along the trail. Part of the reasoning why we're here is that the Coast Guard has stated that the bridge needs to be removed. And the estimate on the removal is somewhere between $5 million and $5.5 million. A reuse is somewhere between $2 and $5 million. What we would like to do for this opportunity is to take a look at the possibility of versus ripping it, tearing it down, it's gone, is to take a look at the use of the bridge as an amenity. And it could be used. There's some ideas, and again, I just passed out a new piece on the Rock Island Swing Bridge to you this evening that has been put together by the county. There are various groups that are willing to contribute, but we're still back, as we mentioned last week. There's a little dispute on who owns the bridge.
Yes, I think that's an important point for bonding possibilities. So I was wondering if that was this bridge. Give us just a little bit on that dispute. That's important.
Joel, maybe you're better at doing it.
I am, Madam Chair. It's not so much a dispute as much as it is whoever owns it has to pay for it.
Right.
And I think that if this comes through, you'll have, in fact, my guess is that it'll be the city that'll step up, because the county has $1.5 million to $2 million set aside because for their contributions to demolish the bridge. So they're willing to put some money in. There's a number of others that are looking to possibly put some money in, but nobody wants to do that until there's a check that comes with it. And I think once that occurs, I have no doubt that that in fact will take place. But if there's if all you're going to do is get the ownership, and there's nothing that comes along with it, now you've got all this responsibility for taking care of it, demolishing, whatever you have to do, then nobody's going to do that until hopefully this takes place, and then we have the ability to reuse this wonderful amenity that's existed for over a century in Inverell Heights.
Part of it is that there has been the discussion has been that Washington County owns their half. Dakota County owns their half. The counties have stated that the state it's been tax forfeit from the original owners, who were from Chicago, ran it as a toll bridge for approximately 9 years, and they left. And so the bridge was declared unsafe. They no longer operated. It became tax forfeited. Then the state, in taking a look at it, the county has been trying to figure out a way, do we put money towards tearing it down, or is there some mechanism? The trail came into effect. The regional trail has to be done in 2008, so that's the urgency why we're here. And again, the city of Invergrove Heights would, I mean, if we had all kinds of money, we'd stand up and say we'll be the lead and we'll take it, but we certainly can't. But we think in cooperation with many agencies, from the Coast Guard, the city, the county, in taking a look at the state of Minnesota, there's also been some inquiries to the McKnight Foundation, Dakota County Historical Society, and others that have said, we're willing to be partners, but we don't want to take ownership of the bridge. So that's why we're here.
Okay. Any questions for members? Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Atkins, maybe you could clarify then for the committee what we're asking for $1.5 million. What exactly will that accomplish, and when will it be accomplished? Will that be this year, next year?
The Madam Chair, Representative Moult, that by its nature, it'll require a joint powers agreement. So if in fact it's funded, then you'll have these other partners stepping up. My expectation would be, the first and foremost, would be that the bridge would be preserved from demolition. That is probably the single most urgent. It's already scheduled within MnDOT's plan.
So number one, you've got to preserve it from being knocked down, because once that occurs, obviously you can't get it back up. Secondly, is then once the joint powers agreement is executed between all these various parties, city, county, the state's contribution, possibly some other private entities, then the work would take place. I think the hope was that some of that work could be accomplished as soon as this fall, if the joint powers agreement moves rapidly. That's a pretty aggressive timeline, depending on how fast this process can move. But people are understanding, and it's also, you've got a 2008 trail plan that's underway that's also driving it. So there's great urgency, and there's an expectation that it'll get underway as fast as possible.
Representative Hall.
Madam Chair, Representative Atkins, then why $1.5 million? I mean, could those partners be convinced to come to the table with their willing resources for a lower dollar amount?
Madam Chair, Representative Moe, it is somewhat of a difficult target, because there aren't a whole lot of examples where you've taken a 112-year-old bridge out into the Mississippi and restored it so that it would be this wonderful opportunity. It is a best estimate as to what it would cost, taking into account what the expectation would be from the, in terms of the county stepping up, the city's role, and some of these other private entities. That said, is I think the city, county, all of those partners would be very pleased with whatever they could get through this bonding process and try to put it together. And in addition, I can tell you this, when there was talk of restoring this bridge a few years back, and this was 7 or 8 years ago when it was shut down, the estimate at that time just to get it up and running again was in the neighborhood of about $1 million. And obviously costs have continued to escalate. That was just to get it back on board and running. This would obviously be to turn it into an observatory over a trail and observation point over the Mississippi.
Any other questions, members? I don't see any. Thank you all for coming. We have one last bill. This will be laid over for possible consideration. That's 2546.
Thank you very much.
And the last one is Representative Eastland has House File XXXX. And if you would like to make a presentation, welcome to the committee. I will move your XXX.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. And the last bill is always the best bill of the day, you know. So I'd like to first just to recognize that I had a testifier that wanted to be here to testify on this bill. His name is Bill Carlson. He's been the heart and soul of this project in our community, and he just, given the uncertainty of the time and lateness of the hour, he said he would prefer not to drive down tonight. So I'll do the best I can to explain what the project is. Basically, what we're talking about is a walking bike path. I don't know if you're familiar with the area of Cambridge and Isani, just north of the metro area. There are two cities the center of the cities are about 6 miles apart, and they've been growing tremendously over the past 5-6 years. We're one of the fastest growing residential areas in the state. And so the communities would really like to connect with a way for kids and for people to be able to travel on bikes and walk and so forth. The Cambridge Isani School District encompasses both cities. The city of Isani has developed with a soccer complex, an ice sheet, an ice arena, and the city of Cambridge has the high school and the fairgrounds, and they're going to be developing a softball complex. And so there's no way currently for people to traffic between the two cities without driving. That's actually safe. And so this is an attempt to kind of bring some safety and some healthy ways to travel for kids and for adults to walk. The project is also Cambridge, the area, Cambridge-Isani area has been selected as one of the active living by design sites, and we've been working on that project for the last several years. It's one of 25 sites in the nation that are trying to develop and plan healthy communities and good ways for people to navigate and get around. And this is kind of a part of that project as well. So we've qualified for some federal funding. The cities have stepped up to the plate. The township that's in between the two cities has stepped up to the plate. The whole project is estimated to cost, I believe it says in the bill, $1,080,000. About $924,000 has been raised and committed. and so the balance left to actually make the project work is $156,000. What it will do is it will buy about 3 miles of trail. Part of the difficulty of the trail is that about 3/4 of a mile goes through a wetland, and it's going to have to be an elevated boardwalk to do that. All of the land acquisition and easements have been acquired, and so basically this is the piece of the left that it would take to make the project fully funded and give them the ability to start. So that's really the request.
Members, are there questions? Representative Small.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wharton, just two quick questions. How much is any of the committed money already dependent upon a state match, and when will the project be constructed?
There is no connection between the request here and the money that's already committed from the community and from the feds. I think what they're waiting for at this point is when they know they have all of the funds committed and they're not going to be short, they're ready to start the project. So I'm sure it could start probably as soon as this summer, but that would depend on them knowing that they have the full funding to do it.
I don't see any other questions. We will lay this over for possible consideration. And thank you,
Madam Chair and Committee. I would have brought you a snack, but it's not good to eat before you go.
Well, I don't want to keep people up tonight either. Members, good job for sitting. We start again tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And I would like to move for somebody. Representative Zoni, would you move the minutes?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the minutes of February 16th.
Thank you for doing that. Any questions about the minutes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any objection? That motion is adopted. Thank you, members. We are adjourned for the evening, and we'll see you at 8 o'clock in the morning.